we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I still have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We would still, by the way, that's in Merritt Island, Florida. We would still love to have you contact us with any prayer requests or praise reports that you might have. We'd love to hear about those things. Today, we want to say thank you right off the bat to the fine folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Area code 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you are anywhere in Brevard County and have electrical issues, or if you have heating issues this time of the year, I don't know that I want to come to your house because it's pretty warm. But if your AC system needs upgrading, you can contact them as well. They are professionals at what they do. And so I encourage you, north to south, east to west, wherever you might be in Brevard County, they can come to where you are. They can work on any type of unit, from window unit, air handler, condensing unit, combination that's kind of traditional in homes, package units, split units. They know how to work on all of them. 321-632-9538. Don't sweat it another minute. Give them a call and let them come and fix you up. 321-632-9538. So we want to invite you out, if you do not have a church home, to Merritt Assembly of God. Like I said, the address is 165 North Grove Street. You need a church home. Listen, I've talked to missionaries, and they have said that when they are on the mission field, that believers from all sorts of different denominations and fellowships, they come together because they realize when they are in hostile territory, if you will, when they are ministering in communities where Christianity is not the predominant religion, how desperately they need one another. And so as we're talking about this persecution aspect and how to respond to it, how to deal with it, cope with it, and get through it gloriously, we need to realize just how much we need one another. And when you need somebody, it'll help you to overlook their humanity, to realize the gift of God that has been placed inside of them for your benefit and for theirs. So if you do not have a church home and would like to come visit now, I'm not here to blow smoke your way or try and gloss over anything. We are a church that traditionally runs between 50 and 80, maybe 45 and 80, depending on whichever week you show up. This coming week is going to be our 66th anniversary. So I will be preaching this coming week. And so, I preach almost every Sunday. I did not preach the Sunday after Memorial Day because I was stretched so thin, but I will be preaching the Word of God this coming Sunday and look forward to, those of you who might be coming up. I'm excited to share what God has laid upon my heart. We want to take you today back to the 143rd Psalm. 143rd Psalm. By the way, if you hear of the chapter is 143, you know that's in the book of Psalms. Outside of that, the longest book is the book of Isaiah at 66 chapters. And so if you hear anything 70, 80, 90, 100, You know it. They're talking about the book of Psalms, and it's almost right in the middle of every Bible that I've ever had. Pretty much opens up right to the book of Psalms. I'm looking at this one, and yep, it's pretty close. Maybe just a hair to the left, but we're pretty close there. So Psalm 143, I'm going to read the whole Psalm for you today. Again, this is a Psalm of David. And then today we're going to pick up in verse number 7 and begin to deal with some of the strategies that David wanted God to how David wanted God to operate. I'll get it out of my mouth here sooner or later. How David wanted God to operate in his life because of the persecution that he was facing. Okay, Psalm 143, verse number 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. So verse number 6 ended with Selah. That kind of take a moment and reflect upon this. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. That's where we ended on yesterday's broadcast. Every once in a while, you need to just step back and you need to take a spiritual break. You need to experience the presence of God. You need to get back to the basics and say, I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to humble myself. I'm just going to sit here. You know, Jesus called the disciples to be with him more than, or that was their first priority. Before anything they could do for him, he wanted them to be with him. And when they were fatigued, he wanted to take them away so that they could regain the strength. You know, if you are constantly pushing out at your capacity or beyond what you normally would operate, sooner or later, you've got to give yourself that opportunity to catch up. So at Merit Assembly of God, we've got something planned for July that is going to be along those lines. But every once in a while, like on holidays, for instance, on Father's Day, we will not be having Sunday night service. We will be taking that time to have an opportunity for the people who work so hard to make things happen at Merit Assembly of God, an opportunity to catch their breath, spend time with their family, enjoy a holiday with their family. So we want them to have that opportunity to step back from the normal routine and say, okay, where do we go from here? Okay, so in verses 1 through 6, David has talked about being crushed. The enemy has persecuted him. Let's see, what else? He's dwelling in darkness. So, you know, in modern terms, we could say, Lord, my power is off. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed. So it was having to do with the very essence of his life. And it was also a spiritual problem. And it was causing a physical distress to come upon him. My heart within me is distressed. And he says, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Now, God, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a spiritual breath. And how do we proceed from here? So if you're writing down, if you're taking notes, maybe you want to come back and listen to this on demand at a later time. I've got some tips that I want to point out to you through these verses, and I've got A through J. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So if you want to write numbers, it's 1 through 10. As far as strategies going forward to successfully endure this persecution, okay? The first one is, answer me speedily, O Lord, for my spirit fails. Okay. There are times when we need to pray and say, God, I need an answer and I need it pretty quick because this situation that I'm dealing with is causing spiritual problems in my life. Now, I take spiritual problems and I make those top priority. You know, a lot of times when you're dealing with people in this world, in this society, if something comes up, they put you right to the next available slot in line, which could be, you know, 4 or 5 days from now. They just don't care. You're just another situation that they're going to have to deal with. That's just the reality. And so there are times when we need to come to God and say, God, I don't need to hear from you a week from Tuesday. What I'm going through is causing me real spiritual problems, and I need you to answer. I need a quick answer. This is a persecution where deliverance needs to come very, very quickly. And I pray that we are doing that. You know, we don't want God to call an answer, you know, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now might be too long. And so it's okay to ask God for a answer and for that answer to come quickly. Now, the second thing that I want to point out to you, by the way, I will tell you that I've been there. I've been there. There was a season where my wife was working a shift that was very, very difficult. It was very challenging. And it began to create spiritual issues, not horrible, but just spiritual issues. And the thing was, she knew that she was exactly where God had placed her. And so while she was there, and she refused to leave that assignment until God had given her the release. And so while she is staying obedient and staying on task and praying and staying and serving to the best of her abilities, I was praying and I said, God, we need a breakthrough. We need you to answer prayer. We need you to answer. And God, we need an answer in this time frame. And I want you to know that God answered. That God answered. I think it's okay to say, God, this is not something that I can endure. This is not a situation where I can wait, you know, as 10 years for an answer. I need this answer pretty quickly. Now, I will tell you from another situation. There was a time where I was fasting and praying. Someone had asked me a question. I said, well, I can tell you that I will certainly make that a matter of fasting and prayer. And they were looking for me to make a decision, and so I did. I fasted for 10 days, and it was kind of an unusual fast because during that 10 days seemed like 10 years, but during that 10 days, I didn't hear anything, and I distinctly remember that I said, okay, well, I haven't heard anything yet. So I'm going to start preparing for my Bible study. I was getting ready to teach a class, and I began to open the Word, and all of a sudden, as soon as I began to study and prepare for that Word, I got the answer to the other situation that I thought I would have heard about already, but I didn't. And I want you to know that when you tell God that you need an answer and you need it quickly, He's going to answer you. He's going to answer you in His time. And you might think you might be only able to wait an hour. And God will say, you know what? in an hour and 2 minutes, I'm going to give you the answer. And I'm so thankful that he does that, because what we're going to come out of this situation with is with a greater testimony. We're going to come out of it victorious. We're going to come out of it with spiritual authority, and our spirit's not going to fail. Our spirit is going to be strengthened. So don't be afraid to ask God. Now, don't be just setting a deadline for deadline's sake. You need to be honest with God. God knows all the details anyway, but don't be afraid to ask God for a speedy answer. The second thing that I want to point out is also in verse number 7. It says, "Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit." Now, when I hear about that, I think of going into Hades, into hell, and, you know, I don't want to be the thing that makes hell for me is the fact that the presence of God is not recognized there. It's not a place where they recognize his authority. People who are in hell are there because they chose to go there, thinking that they were smarter than God, more powerful than God. It's a place where arrogance punches your ticket for you. I can tell you this. I don't want God's face to be hidden from me. What David's saying here is, God, I need some face-to-face time. I need a face-to-face appointment with you. Guys, we're probably more guilty of this than ladies are, but not exclusively, where we can be doing something and not be looking at another person, and they think that we're ignoring them when in actuality we're not. And so whenever my wife begins to feel that way, she will do this. "Well, you're not even paying any attention to me." And then I will give her a word for word quote of what we were talking about. But even if that's the case, even if I got the answer right, I got the question wrong. The question is not whether or not I'm hearing what she is saying. The question is, are you paying attention to me? And so at that point in time, I will look her in her big, beautiful eyes, and I will give her my undivided attention, because what she is saying is, I need you to pay attention to me so that you genuinely, authentically hear what I have to say. And David says, God, I don't just want you to be, you know, 1-800 come to my rescue. I want to have some real fellowship time with my King, my Lord, and my God. Don't ever, ever substitute the presence of God for just another program. It just doesn't work. The presence of God is absolutely vital for us. So David says, "Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit." The third thing is in verse number 8. It says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning." Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Now, we've talked about trusting God in one of the other steps that we've talked about. Trusting God, we talked about with Psalm 7, verse 1. Trusting the Lord is very, very important. But this, it says, "Cause me to hear." Cause me to hear. In Isaiah chapter 50, in verse number 4, it says, "You have given me an ear that awakens every morning to listen, like one being taught, so that I hear a word that sustains the weary. Cause me to hear." Now, I don't know about you, but of a morning, there are certain things that I don't like to hear. I don't like to hear my neighbor's dog barking at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. You don't like hearing clanking around and all of those sorts of things. There are a lot of things in this world that you don't want to hear. But David realized, he said, the one thing that I need to hear early in the morning is I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I'm a bit of a news junkie. I have to watch that. I have to temper that to make sure that I don't overdose on news and that begin to take over my input system into my life and into my day. And so I've made it a goal of mine that it's very important for me early of a day to find out what is going on in heaven. What is the news coming from heaven? What is the news that comes from God's word? What does God have to say? You see, what God has to say is about what is going on, he's the one that orders our steps and directs our path. So we need to find out, God, what are my marching orders? What are my instructions? As we're sitting down for this briefing consult between you and I, what do you have in store for us? And so, first of all, David says, answer me speedily. Second, I'm requesting a face-to-face meeting. And third, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. You know, I heard a preacher one time that said when David was saying early in the morning, well, I seek thee, he said he was speaking from personal opinion. he wasn't much of a morning person. Well, he was a morning person. He said that he heard from God very well between midnight and 2 in the morning. So he was like getting his day started in the middle of the night was what was happening. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Let me just ask this question. What do you suppose your day would be like when you are getting ready to deal with persecution and persecutors and enemies and hostile forces in your life? What kind of day would that start if that's what you had to look forward to? You would probably say, I would start it with dread. I would start it on defensive, you know, what can I do to make this situation? There's a whole lot, everything would be the attitude that you would have going into that day would be shaped by the things that you are hearing, the things that you know are coming to pass that day. So let's take that back. Let's rewind it just a bit. And let's ask this question. God, before I go face my persecutors, would you give me the words to speak? Would you prepare my heart? Would you cause me to hear from you, the lover of my soul? Would you cause me to hear about your loving kindness? Would you compel me to know where I stand with you and how marvelously and lavishly you have bestowed your love upon me? Because that's what I really, really, really need to hear. I need that to prepare me for my persecutors. That's what I need. I think that that's very important. So the third thing that David says is, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. And that trust says, you know what? I know God's going to speak. The Bible says, for man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible never describes that there would be a famine of the word of God. It describes that there would be a famine of hearing the word of God, of listening to, of heeding the word of God. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to heed, to pay attention to. And so, you and I, if we would realize what a difference our day would have if we started it off the way that God wants us to, and that is, God, I am so thankful that you caused me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Well, let's touch on one more. We're going to get to number 4 today. It says, cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Now, remember, this is the person who said the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. That's what's described. He's described in verse number 6, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. And now he says, I'm going to lift up my soul to you. I'm going to bring my soul. I'm going to bring it to you because you can be the one who, even though they hurt me, you can heal me. You can make me whole once again. He said, so I'm going to lift up my soul to you. And I want to ask you to do one other thing. And that is, would you cause me to know the way in which I should walk? Now, love is supposed to be the identifying characteristic for those of us who are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are. We're supposed to be in love with God, lovers of our neighbors. We're supposed to be loving other disciples. We are supposed to love people with an unconditional love. And so if we hear his loving kindness every morning, then we ask this, God, show me where I'm supposed to walk, how I'm supposed to walk. Show me how to do that in love. Give me the words to speak that I may speak the truth, but I want to speak the truth the way you want it spoken, and that is to speak the truth in love. So David is saying, God, from the very beginning of this day, I need you to answer me quickly. I need you to not hide your face from me. I need you to cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. And I'm asking you to give me the insight, the information, the direction that I need so that I know the way to walk, the when to walk, the why to walk, the how to walk, the to whom we're going. And I, that's what I need, God. I need you to order my day, direct my steps. I pray that my path is lit up so that I do not stumble and I do not cave. I do not succumb to any trap that the enemy has for me. Right now, in my house, my wife's got a few challenges navigating around the house. And so my solution for that is this, because I want her to be successful, is if I know that she's going to be walking in that room as she recovers, that I'm flipping on every switch, I'm removing out of her path every stumbling block, everything that could cause her to trip, anything that could cause her to stumble. I want the dog outside until she gets to where she's comfortable. I want to set her up to success. That's what God wants to do for you and I each and every day. God, we're facing persecution, but we need you to answer quickly. We need to have a face-to-face with you, an actual time in your presence. Cause me to hear your loving kindness every morning, and I lift up my soul so that you can show me how and where to walk. God bless you. We will see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.